sang it again. Church, would you stand with us and sing now? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet sound. You're just getting the hang of it. Can we sing it one more time? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Father, we truly love you tonight. And Lord, our desire would be that our songs of praise tonight would be as a sweet-smelling savor to you. We've come this way to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank you for those that have come this way here tonight, that we might corporately come together. But Lord, we realize tonight that we must worship you individually. It's a personal worship. It's just between me and you tonight. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would accept my worship and that you would accept my praise. And Lord, I don't want to take any of it home with me. I don't even want to leave any of it on this platform tonight. But I want to give you all of my praise and all of my worship because you are worthy. Lord, I pray that you would so fill the sanctuary tonight that when we leave this place, we'll say, boy, it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, help it not to be just another ordinary service where we come together and sing a couple of verses and hear just what we would say to be another message and go home and turn off the lights and close the doors and leave everything behind. Another week to start tomorrow. But Lord, may we receive something tonight. Because we're willing to give something and ourself to you. And Lord, I pray that you would so fill this place, touch us tonight, be with our pastor, speak through him, Lord. If it would be your will for him, Lord, to stand and proclaim your word tonight, speak through him, Lord, what we need to hear. May our hearts and minds be open to receive it. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, our prayer would be that they would come to know you as the Savior of their life here in this place. Lord, maybe they've been here week after week and month after month, maybe even year after year. But tonight they might realize for the very first time, wait a minute. I'm not sure of my salvation. I'm not sure where I would be if the trumpet were to sound before morning. Help them to know that before they leave this place tonight. But Lord, again, we would pray tonight for an extraordinary service. Give us what we need. We will praise you, Lord. We will thank you for what is accomplished here in this place at Calvary tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, you can be seated. Choir remains standing. Can we sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now on the last, when we've been there, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen. Thank you. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. It's great to have the children's home back with us. And I'm thankful for the choir. They've worked very hard today and had a good choir practice this evening, trying our best to get ready for Jubilee. And as we mentioned this morning, we have a list down front. Take one of those, if you would, make that a matter of prayer, that complete list. Pray for all of those that will be coming, the singers, especially those that will be coming to bring us the word, each choir, the diplomats, and the special singers for that week. Please pray for them. And if you're given to send a note, that would be great. Send them a card. Just jot a little note in there and say, I'm praying for you. Be praying for you that way. You won't know what that means to them. I promise you, they'll come and thank the church. They always are so thankful for all the cards and letters that are sent. So if you would, please be so kind to do that. That's right around the corner. Jubilee 2019, they'll start Sunday, March the 3rd that morning. We won't have Sunday school that morning. The service will start at 10:30 that morning with Brother T.D., and we're very excited about that. And then that night will be Brother Sammy. So we'll have the Burgess crew here on Sunday morning to kick us off. So we're excited about that. The diplomats will be here with us some that week. So again, we're excited about that. So please come. Invite folks to come to the church. Let's fill the house of God. Amen? Amen. Please pray for those that are sick. We have many that are going through some very difficult times. Please, please pray for John Ashworth. He'll be undergoing surgery on his leg, and it is very serious surgery. So please remember him in prayer. And Barbara Ann, still in the hospital at Emory. Please remember her in prayer. And many others. We have a very long list of prayer requests, and many of those were mentioned this morning, so let's remember all those. Remember Wednesday night, of course, Bible study and prayer meeting. Don't forget about the book on the Revelations Made Easy. And all right, sign-up sheet's already down front. If you want to get a book, there's no cost to it. Am I correct? No cost to it at all. Miss Jackie's worked hard to put these together. That's very nice. That is what Brother Snyder would say has been done with the what? Spirit of excellence right there. You want a copy of that? If you're going to take that and study that, if you were not able to come to the study, Miss Jackie and Brother Jack have worked very hard for that. And so you can just sign up for it. They'll get you a copy of it. And I'm going to get me one. I was unable to be here for the study, so very excited about that. So please go and sign up, get you a copy of it, and they'll appreciate that. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be with us here tonight. And Brother Charlie Wilson, would you take us, Lord, in word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering as well?
Yeah. we finish this, and this has given me so much joy to do. We got to teach it, and it was exciting to have a class. But the Lord put it on my heart. He says, why don't you make it for everybody? Everybody don't come to classes. And some people are scared to look at Revelations. Do you know there's a promise in the book of Revelations in chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, happy or blessed are the ones who read and understand Revelations. The word blessed means happy. The reason we're happy as Christians is that when you read this and study it, after chapter 4, the church is no longer around. And then after that comes the tribulation. The happy part is that we won't be here. We are pre-trib church. That the rapture will take place before we leave. But the reason for this is all the loved ones that you have in your families that don't know nothing, that don't even read or don't care, this can help. And I'm not boasting about it. Dale and I, Dale Burchill, we did this 2 or 3 years ago, put this together, and we got to teach it once. And I've had the opportunity to do it again. But this is free. And we're just going to keep making them as long as that list keeps growing. So, if y'all want one, then I say take it and read it. But if you're just going to put it on the shelf, don't take it, because somebody might want it that will use it. Thank you. No, it's still not your copy of it. We got to make these.
Appreciate that, Brother Jack and Sister Jackie. Let's take our Bibles tonight for a few moments to the Old Testament book of Judges, Judges chapter number 1. Got it over here. That's good. Judges chapter number 1 tonight. This morning we said that we're going to look at another valley. This morning we looked at the valley of Elah, where Goliath was. And tonight we're going to look at another situation in another valley out of the book of Judges, chapter number 1. And while we looked at David this morning and his simple solution to a giant problem, we're going to look tonight, verse number 19, concerning this title, the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. Lord, we're on the threshold of a brand new week. Father, I pray that we would embrace the truths that we've heard today through music and through the messages, Father, and that we would apply them and be encouraged. Pray that you'd be with us for the next few moments, encourage your people, and challenge them at the same time. And we're thankful for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Judges, in verse number 18, chapter 1, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. That's one verse tonight. Again, the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's a song that we used to sing at Floyd Road, and the title is that. The God of the mountain is still God of the valley. And what I mean by that is the same God that we experience and enjoy when life is at its best is the same God that when we go through trials and we go through storms and we're in low places in life, he's still God and he's still in charge and God's still good. Even in the valley, God is good. But I want you to notice that in verse number 1, we know that Joshua had passed, and as Moses did, now Joshua has passed. And Israel is looking for a leader to go up for them as they go into Canaan. and to occupy there. Notice verse number 1 of chapter 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And so we see that the Lord is using the tribe of Judah here. Not the individual Judah, because he has been dead and gone for some time, but the tribe of Judah. Let me just say this before we go further in the scriptures tonight, that every tribe had a fight for their own lot in Canaan land. But nonetheless, we have a leader to lead them into Canaan to start that fight. And so Judah is the one to lead Israel into Canaan land. And then they were all to fight for their own lots that was given to them at one point. I want you to notice tonight that, number one, we see Judah complete. Judah complete. In verse number 1 and 2, we see that Judah was elected, as I just said a moment ago. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And so Judah was elected to lead this battle into Canaan land. And then they were to be dispersed into their own lots and fight for their land. And so we see Judah elected. But then we see in verse number 3 through 18, Judah protected. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with them. That is the head of Simeon's tribe and the head of Judah's tribe. In verse number 4, we see that Judah was making grounds. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And so we see Judah here complete. They were completely protected, and God was blessing them and allowing them to gain land. Verse number 5, "And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him. And they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites." And so the victories are continuing. And then in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire." The victories are continuing here, and God's protecting and God's blessing. In verse number 10, "And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, and they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai." And so Judah is on the move, and they're gaining their land in Canaan's land, and God is blessing and God is protecting. Verse number 17, "And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof." I said all that to say this, that Judah was experiencing a mountaintop experience. They were gaining victory after victory after victory. God had chosen them to lead this thing into Canaan land and to start the battle of accomplishing the lots, and God protected them. I mentioned this morning about David and how that David had some remembrances of the battle of Goliath. And we know that David took the sword of Goliath and he placed the sword within his tent, or he brought his sword back to Bethlehem, and in fact, it was in the tabernacle of God. And David went to the high priest and asked if there's any weapons later on down the road, and he brought forth that sword of Goliath. And I believe that sword was a trophy of God's grace. It was an emblem of what God had done for David. And that's why he kept it, I believe. And so many times in life that the Lord delivers us and God allows us to get victory after victory. And we experience this mountaintop experience. I'm sure we could go through the room tonight and everyone can testify at the times that God has given you a victory in your life. There's another song that we used to sing, and there was a phrase in that song. And in the phrase of that song that we used to sing back at Floyd Road, it was, I know what it's like to stand on the mountaintop, but also I know what it's like to be in the valley low. And the point of the matter tonight is simply this, is that Judah was experiencing victory. We see Judah complete. Judah was elected to be the leader. And Judah was protected. And we see that they were protected because of their victories. Now, there's a second thing about Judah I want to mention. Look in our text verse tonight, verse number 19. We see Judah complete, but then we see Judah's defeat. In verse number 19, notice what the Bible says. And the Lord was with Judah. And so God has been with Judah to this point. And he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. And so the Lord was with Judah, and they had victory after victory, and they're on a literal mountain. And God was with them, and they drove out the inhabitants of the mountain and gained those lots. But things kind of changed now. Because the next phrase says, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley. The same God that was on the mountain gaining victory for Judah is the same God that was in the valley with Judah. And so something happened as to why there wasn't victory in the valley. I want to say tonight that the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. The Bible does not say nor refer to the Lord leaving Judah. I believe one or two things had taken place as to why Judah suffered defeat here. Number one, it could have been from fatigue. And Judah had been going to battle after battle and gaining ground after ground, and Judah could have been in a place of exhaustion or fatigue. And much of the time in the Christian life, when we're battling the devil and we're trying to be obedient to what God would have us to do and be responsible in life with our families and our jobs, sometimes it's a time of exhaustion and fatigue. And sometimes we end up defeated in the valley. We're in the book of Judges. You don't have to turn there. I'll give it to you. But in Judges chapter 8, verse number 4, we know that Gideon was leading his men. And they were gaining victory after victory after victory. Gideon and his men were. But in Judges chapter 8, in verse number 4, there's a phrase in that verse that says that they were faint, yet pursuing. Meaning that they didn't give up. They were faint in spirit. They were tired and they were fatigued, but yet they were still pursuing. And I want to say that the God of the mountain can still and is, regardless, the God of the valley. You can be in a valley low and you can be fatigued and exhausted, and the same God that you've experienced on the mountaintop can give you the strength to crawl through the valley low. Gideon experienced this grace he experienced the God of the valley when him and his men were faint yet pursuing. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 21, in verse 4, the Bible gives reference and says this phrase in a certain verse, in this verse number 4, says that they were discouraged because of the way. The children of Israel were discouraged because of the way. They had a way that was, or at least the path they were on, was a very discouraging one. It was because Aaron just died. He died and they were mourning Aaron. And God was continually leading the children of Israel, but it was a time of great discouragement for them. And no doubt the Christian life is the best life to live, but there are times where discouragement and fatigue set in, exhaustion, spiritually speaking, and even physically speaking. Sometimes we experience the valley low, but yet we look for the God of the mountain. And although we may not feel Him at times, and although we may not sense Him at times, and we may feel like we can't carry on or go any further, God is still with us. The same God that was on the mountain is the same God that's walking with us through the valley. And David said it best in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." And so David knew what it was like. And here in the book of Judges, as Judah was experiencing the God of the mountain, now they're in the valley. And yet they're suffering defeat. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says that there's weariness of the flesh and much study. So sometimes life gets weary and sometimes the way grows tiresome. But I believe, according to verse number 19, that it had to do with fear, according to Judah's defeat. It could have been some fatigue involved, but I believe fear was involved. Notice what he says again in verse 19. "And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron." Now, the Lord hasn't changed here, nor does the scriptures indicate that the Lord was not with them, because it clearly says that the Lord was with Judah. So what happened? I believe when Judah saw those chariots of iron, solid iron, the chariots of iron, I believe that their eyes got off of the sufficiency of God and got on the solidness, those chariots of iron, and it was intimidating. Sometimes in life, the way that things seem can be very intimidating. We can experience the Lord on the mountain when things come into our life and they're easily succumbed by the power of God. But what about when you're in the valley? When there's chariots of iron, there's iron men in the valley. There's situations that isn't hollow. In other words, they're solid, they're stern, they're steady, they're not easily defeated. The Bible says that the Lord was with Judah and they were able to drive out the inhabitants there on the mountain, but it was in the valley where the chariots of iron were at. Sometimes in life things seem solid and sometimes they seem like they're iron and we can't get through and we can't break through. Maybe it's because our eyes have got off Jesus. Nonetheless, Judah was in the valley, and yet they were in defeat because of the chariots of iron. I want you to notice something else. We see Judah complete. God elected them, and God protected them. But then we see Judah's defeat in verse number 19. They could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because of the chariots of iron. But then number 3, I want us to notice Judah's retreat. Judah's retreat. In verse number 20, notice what the Bible says. "And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the 3 sons of Anak." Notice this. These were the tribes fighting for their own lots. "And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day." Look at verse number 27. "Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanak and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants Eblam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. This is how we get the formation of the mixed multitude. We have these other tribes trying to fight for their land and their lots that God had given them, but they were not able to drive them out. Look at verse number 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Verse number 30, it keeps on going. Verse number 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh. Verse 34, and the Amorites, notice this, forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in the Mount Heres and Ajalon and in Shelbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed so that they became tributaries. It just goes on and on and on. Judah was complete. God elected them and protected them to lead into Canaan land. But then we see Judah's defeat down in the valley. And then Judah's retreat along with all the rest of them. The majority of them gave in and caved in. Remember what Joshua said at the conclusion of the book of Joshua? What did he say? He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you serve. And he gave them three choices. He talked about serving the gods on the other side of the flood. Or he talked about the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But then Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so Joshua's three choices were this. You can, number one, go back on the other side of Jordan into the world. Or you can give in to the enemy and not fight for what's yours. Or you can go on with Jesus. And I believe tonight that when it comes to Judah, when it comes to these other tribes, they reached a place in their fatigue and in their exhaustion and in the weariness of their flesh where they just gave in. And now we have the mixed multitude. We have different tribes, and we have the enemies, and the Canaanites, and Amorites, and the Jebusites. They're all dwelling together and worshiping idol gods. This is not the finish line tonight. We're not through fighting this battle until we get to heaven. We're not through fighting this battle until the rapture of the church takes place. There's still territory to gain. There's still a race to run. There's still a life to live. There's still a battle to fight. Let's don't give in to the enemy. If you notice in chapter number 2, look at verse number 2 of chapter 2. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Again, he is giving them the lesson here, the do's and don'ts of Canaan land. Make no league with them. Don't mix and mingle with them. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Verse number 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. They shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel that the people lifted their voice and wept. I believe the Lord is saying here, since you're given in to the enemy that's in the land, I will not drive them out for you. In other words, they're going to be a thorn in your side until you call out for mercy and you call out for help, they're going to be a thorn in your side. I'm not going to drive them out. And I believe this is a form of chastisement. This is a form of correction from God the Father. Many times in life when we get to a place where we feel like, well, it's not worth the fight. It's not worth rocking the boat to move forward. I'm not going back. I'm just going to give in to the enemy. I'm just going to find a resting place, so to speak. I'm not going to go forward. I'm not going to go back. Well, there is no middle ground for the Christian. We cannot straddle the fence. We're either going to go forward or we're going to go back. The Lord said here that the enemy is going to be a thorn in your side. Verse number 6 down to verse number 10, we see the last days of Joshua. Verse number 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. In verse number 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. It continued and continued and continued to go in the wrong direction. But in verse number 16, we see God's mercy and God's grace. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. How about that? Even though the children of Israel did evil, and even though they didn't have any strength to go forward, they just caved in and mixed and mingled with the enemy. After a while, as our Heavenly Father does with His mercy and with His grace, He shows and shines it upon us. And just like He did with these judges, He would raise up a judge and would clear out the enemy, and Israel would have rest. God does that for us. God comes through in our lives in spite of our disobedience at times, and He blesses us. I know I don't deserve any blessing that I have tonight, because I've dropped the ball many a times, and I've been in the places many a times where being in just an old bad rut where you can't go forward and you can't go back, or at least you don't want to, because of the aggravation and the strain and the stress. But in spite of it all, God still shows up. And God blesses, and because of that, because of the goodness of God, it leads us to a place of repentance. And then, because God has showed up and blessed us once again, in spite of us, it gets us to reeling and rocking, and we're starting to climb out of that rut and trust God a little more. And so God raised up judges and delivered Israel out of their hands. And while these judges were living and serving, Israel had rest. But guess what happened after those judges would die off? Israel, the Bible says, will go whoring after other gods. And then would be the suffering and the chastisement. And then God in His mercy would raise up another judge and give them rest. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's the normal Christian life. That's what happens in life, the Christian life. We struggle and we strive and we war. We experience the God of the mountain when He rains down in our life and we feel His closeness. We experience His victory. But then we're in the valley where we're fatigued and we're strained and stressed. And many times we give in and we're defeated and we're in a rut. But it's the same God in the valley that's with us as He was on the mountaintop. And then He shows up and he shines His mercy through unto us. And He opens up doors and windows from heaven. We serve a very merciful God tonight. A God that's worthy to be praised. I just wanted to share with you tonight, the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. And there's full access to Him right where we're at tonight. Whether we are on the mountain or whether we are in the valley, the Bible does say in verse 19 that the Lord was with Judah, and He drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Are you fighting against some things that you feel are impossible to defeat tonight? Is there chariots of iron in your daily pathway? I want to say that God can fight for you if you just let Him. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We'll have a verse of invitation. If you need to come and pray, you come. Now's the time.